Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All right, let's go Growing in Grace, the podcast. As you know, I'm Joel, and he's Mike. Why do we even introduce ourselves here? People, you know, they click on the podcast because they want to listen, and they know that it's me. They know that it's you. Shouldn't we just get right into it? I don't know.
Well, some people would say, yes, we should just get into it. Stop the banter. Stop goofing around. That's not what they tune in for, Joel. But
well, even the introductions. I'm Mike. He's Joel. He's Joel. I'm Mike. I just said that wrong. And I didn't do that on purpose. Hey,
just call me Melchizedek.
Mel. Can I call you Mel?
That would mix it up a little.
I talk a lot about tithing, as some people know, and I have gotten, I can type out Melchizedek, like, I just, my fingers just know how to do it.
Wow. I've seen that's as good as spelling out Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. What about Dubuque, Dubuque, Iowa. That's a weird word, Dubuque. But, you know, sometimes people will abbreviate and type Mel, and that's great. For Melchizedek. I know you've done it. I've done it. Yeah. And but I've gotten
same with just, Abe.
Abraham.
Yeah. But what about Ovaltine? I mean, it's round. Why don't they call it Roundtine? Ovaltine. Anyway, for you Seinfeld fans out there.
Yeah. Well, there was a teacher in my high school. Her last name was Welvotny, and I don't know. You said Ovaltine. It reminded me of that, but it was just one of those names that it was. I thought it was Wovaltine, but then I actually heard someone. She wasn't actually a teacher of mine, but she was a teacher in the school, and I heard someone say Wovatny, and I'm like, oh, you know how you read a word and you don't really read it, and you don't really know how it's pronounced until you hear somebody say it. So, and that's the type of thing that people do. Little bad segue here with things that are written in the Bible and religious things. They kind of have an idea of what it's supposed to be, of how things are supposed to go, and it's not really how it is. And so a few weeks ago, we had asked for your comments, and so we're going to continue on with getting to your comments. Now, you may have noticed that we're not really doing these in the order that they came in. And it was an organizational thing on my part. I was able to print them out, and we're kind of going through them as they're printed out. And so I made a Word document, and so I didn't intentionally put them in order either. So if you commented, if you were one of the first people who commented and we haven't gotten to you, don't worry, we'll get to you. We'll get to your comment.
Yeah, we want to make sure that you understand that this request was asked for quite a few weeks ago, so we're still not asking for them. I mean, you can sure always share what God has done in your life to move you from bondage to grace. You can always do that.
Definitely.
But we wanted to take a few programs or so and reflect on some of the things that you've had a change with, a significant radical change when you went from some type of legalism into a more pure grace. So these comments were from a while back, but we're just getting caught up here because we record ahead of time.
Yeah, we record ahead of time, and so it makes it hard for the listener to understand that, well, we asked for this a long time ago. Why are you just getting to it? Well, this is why, because anyway, that's not just how this works. So we are at a place here. We're still doing some YouTube comments, and we've got some Spotify comments that we'll get to. But as far as the YouTube ones, there was a longer comment. I won't go through the whole thing. He mentioned how It'd be nice to talk about how most of these scriptures people are getting wrong are aimed at unbelievers and people thinking everything written in your Bible is for Christians. I mean, that's good. And we've talked about that, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more in the future. There was stuff that was written specifically for the people of Israel, but so many doctrines. And he says, how many people are building huge doctrines around singular verses that aren't backed up anywhere else in Scripture? Context is everything. So we've talked a lot about context, context, context on this podcast, because it does make a huge difference. If you're looking just at a verse, you can say, oh, well, Jesus said this or Paul said that, and without the context. And so the one of the things he brought up here, which we've talked about, so we won't get into this much here in this series. We've already talked about this, but John 16, where Jesus was speaking of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And as we mentioned, that conviction, the conviction of sin, when the Helper comes, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And of course, he was talking about convicting the world of sin because they don't believe. So that's not aimed at believers. The world needed to be convicted of sin, but Jesus came to convict of righteousness. Those who believe have been made the righteousness of God. So we did already go through all of that, but it was a really good comment.
It's a great example of a verse or two that is thrown out there, and people just assume that that concept of God convicting us Christians, us children of God, he's convicting us of sin. It's his ongoing ministry of the Spirit, and that is not true, as you just pointed out. And so it's a great example. It's one of those things, Joel, where somebody might say, I used to hear a lot in church circles, God gave me a verse. Well, as I've grown in grace, God's taken some verses away from me, at least in the context that they were communicated. It's almost like, just forget about it. You don't need to try and figure this out. So, when somebody starts asking, and here's one of the greatest questions, or one of the most frequent questions that you'll probably hear from people, and it's this: what do you think about this verse? And I have some exhortation here for you, and it is, stop it. Stop asking that. It's not about the verse. There's so much more to it. I mean, even if you want to do your study within the jots and the tittles, it's going to come down to more than a verse. Hardly ever are you going to be able to contextualize the gospel and the new covenant from a single verse in the Bible. But I've seen people try and make their case using a verse, and more times than not, it's way out of context.
Yeah, and it's happened to me even today. I saw it, but and I won't do the particular example, but you can make a case for something, you can explain something in depth, and then somebody comes back with a verse, as if that just destroys everything that you've just said. And then see, you're wrong because this verse says that. Well, that's why it's good to have discussions. I mean, if you really want to get to, the truth of a matter, and that's a great thing to do. Don't just be depending upon, throwing verses back and forth to each other. There can be a place for that, but really have a discussion, and if you end up agreeing, great. If you don't agree, that's fine too. But just don't think that everything is settled with a verse.
Sometimes they call the Bible a sword, and it just becomes a sword fight, fencing match,
ways
a fence that Jesus tore down.
Right, and that's not what it's meant to be, exactly. That's not the sword that it's meant to be.
Well, let's see. I was taught, here's one, I was taught I had to do the daily disciplines to grow closer to God or to memorize a bunch of verses to overcome sin. But I realize now that daily practices are not used to try and achieve anything, but instead are to be used as tools to remind me of who I already am in Christ and that I am already an overcomer who is a close beloved son because of grace. So there you go. I mean, I would imagine a lot of people out there when they were doing the religious treadmill that they can probably relate to this. And the daily disciplines will probably vary a lot from one person to the next, from one church to the next. And so I can say for me personally, I don't have those in my life.
Right.
I mean, my daily disciplines are probably more like, doing physical therapy exercises. Or I might have some other routines that have nothing to do with the Bible.
Mine's de deciding if I want to go to McDonald's or Arby's.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Got to check the app and see what the deals are.
But yeah, I mean, the spiritual disciplines, daily disciplines, I've heard people talk in a more positive way that it's like, well, like this person was saying, they were taught that it will help you to go closer to God and other people. So say you want to, say you enjoy spending some time in prayer or picking up your Bible and studying it, reading it. Some people would say you have to do these things. It's a discipline that you have to do. Other people would say, well, because you enjoy your relationship with God, if you enjoy doing these things, that's great. It's not getting you any closer to God. Rather, you're doing it because you enjoy doing that kind of thing. So that's kind of, I think, where you and I come from, where like you've talked about, in my life has become over the years, it's just an ongoing conversation with God. There might be times when I specifically stop and pray about things or talk to God about something specific, but generally speaking, it's just an ongoing thing throughout any
Yeah,
given day.
you're in the moment, right? I mean, you're in
Yeah.
the moment.
And sometimes it's just my thoughts. It's not even, dear God, this, amen. It's not that. It's just I know he's present with me, and I'm present with him. I'm in him, he's in me, and it's just an ongoing relationship.
Yeah, I think in my book, Joel, Clash of the Covenants, I think one thing I kind of mentioned in there in so many words is that sometimes the fellowship and the communion I have with God is so rich, and it often goes on without me saying a word. It's just there. It's hard to describe. But if I can wrap up this comment with a verse, actually two of them, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, for on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. These people who feel the need to do daily disciplines, sort of like a slave in a sense, because they're trying to get closer to God. So the old covenant way was draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But we have something better, a guarantee through the person of Jesus Christ, and it's through him that we draw near to God. And it really doesn't have anything to do with our obedience and our daily discipline, so to speak.
Right. And in that same section, of Hebrews, the writer talks about therefore having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. So through Christ. And I like to focus on that word living. The law and rules and disciplines are not a living way, but Christ is living. Christ is the living way. He himself is life in us. So that's the new way. That's the new and living way that we're in right now in Christ. So a newer listener here, so grateful for these podcasts as a new Christian and eager to learn all the stuff I ingested. I'm still unlearning 10 years later, mostly dispensationalism. Deconstructing everything. These teachings on growing in grace are the completion of the journey. Thank you, gentlemen. So, dispensationalism, we've talked about that. We don't spend a great deal of time on that. Cap, you had reminded me beforehand that we had done a podcast. If a person wants to hear some thoughts on that, 887, podcast 887 of the Growing in Grace podcast, you can listen to that. Basically, I mean, dispensationalism is multifaceted. You have a lot of different views within that. I think one of the main things that we would say is that there is only one gospel and there is only one body. There is one body of Christ, and that includes Jews and Gentiles who have believed. We have been grafted into Christ. It's not certain people have been, it's not we've been grafted into Israel. It's not we've been grafted in as Jews. We're not spiritual Jews. I mean, I'm kind of getting all over the place here, but the main thing that we would communicate is that the gospel, as we talked about a few weeks ago, there is one gospel, and it's the same whether you have been a Jew or a non-Jew, a Gentile, and it's salvation and made the righteousness of God, and you have been sanctified in everything, justified by grace through faith apart from works. There are no works, whether you've been a Jew or a Gentile. There's no law. The law has been done away with. So, again, without getting too deep into it, you can go back to podcast 887 and hear some thoughts on that if you want to. But that's a good one. I mean, it's some people get really, really caught up in that. And I know that some people who do teach dispensationalism believe that they're helping people to be free, but I see people become free when they realize the simplicity of the gospel, I guess.
And it's a good reminder that on our Growing in Grace website at growingingrace.org, there is a search bar over on the right. You might be able to type in a keyword or two and find a program that you're looking for. Let's do another one here, Joel. This person says, and I think they've been a long-time listener.
Yes,
one of the most precious and comforting things that the knowledge of grace has blessed me with is the realization that holiness is a gift freely given to me through Jesus Christ. Sanctification was preached as an unattainable experience, such that when new converts were expressing joy of salvation, in my mind, I would secretly say, wait till you start praying for sanctification to know how tedious Christianity is. They go on to say, I love the Lord, but the way holiness was preached turned relationship with him a big paralyzing burden. So that was probably a big one for me too, Joel, realizing that I was already declared to be holy and righteous. And some people might think that sounds arrogant, but it's actually quite humbling once you understand that it's coming as a gift from God, and there's nothing that you and I can do to boast in anything. We don't work for anything like that with God, because it all came through his Son. And so that is very freeing. And same with sanctification, by the way, because the church at large is out there trying to teach people, okay, yeah, you're saved by grace through faith, but now the sanctification process begins to take place, and you get to participate in that as you become more holy and you become more righteous and you become whatever. And so when you understand that all of that already belongs to us, that we are sanctified, we are righteous, we are holy, we've been perfected, all of these great things that came by way of Jesus gifted to us freely, it changes everything, right?
Yeah. Big time. Really frees people up. Just knowing that you've been made holy and sanctified by nothing that you've done. Like she was saying here, it was preached as unattainable. It preached as an unattainable experience.
Well, they tell you to do it. You're supposed to become more sanctified now, but it's like dangling a carrot that's never within their reach. Right.
Yeah. It's like how they tell you you have a wicked and deceitful heart. And then they tell you, but you got to stop sinning, and you got to, become sanctified and all these things, not knowing that we've been given a new heart and have been sanctified by grace, not by anything that we've done. Hey, one last one here. This is actually, I think the first comment that was posted. So like I said, we're definitely not going in order here. What did I once believe I had to do? I would say one of the most devastating events of my life was being excommunicated on the grounds of being a... Can you get this, Cap? Can you under... How could somebody do this? She was a ballet dancer. But she was... I'm being silly here, but she was excommunicated for being a ballet dancer. In that church, dance was basically a sin. The, quote, youth pastor compared me to Salome dancing for King Herod. It wrecked me for many years. I know that's just sad. Some people have such a hard time with dancing, with things like that, when it's really a really neat expression that some people really do enjoy doing. And I think it's a wonderful thing. To reminds me... I don't know. Let's just do it. You heard about those churches that are against premarital sex. And you know why? Because it might lead to dancing.
Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie. But you know what? What's sad about this though, Joel, is you know the concept of dancing as if there isn't some good things about dancing in the Bible, right?
Right.
Some of this stuff just gets completely skimmed over, again, taken out of context. And here's somebody who wanted to be a part of a fellowship, and they basically kicked her out because of her ballet dancing, and it wrecked her for many years. I guess I don't know if it's a male or a female here, but it wrecked them for many years, they said. And you know, you almost feel like you're being excommunicated from God sometimes when this sort of stuff happens. And we've talked to a lot of people over the years who have had to go and get professional counseling because of the way they were treated within church buildings. It kind of tears my heart out a little bit.
Yeah. 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 Me too. Well, we've, gotten through most of the YouTube comments. We got some Spotify comments left, and we sure do appreciate, you know, all the comments that came in. I think it's just great to get people talking about this stuff and talking amongst themselves and hearing us on the podcast with your comments, because so many people can relate to so much of this stuff. So we'll have some more, maybe wrap it up next week. We'll see where it goes. So listen in again next week right here on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.